Hey, and thanks for joining us for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zampro, naturopathic physician, professor, herbalist, and author, and all things naturopathic, joining you for this wonderful edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Remember, you can always get information on our walks, talks, eco-tours, trips, and what we call fun shops, because we don't like to work. That's why we don't call them workshops. when we're doing our dharmic work, myself and the natural nurse, it is certainly not like work, that's for sure. And I'm sure our guest today, my long-term friend, compatriot, brethren, and a colleague, Dr. Norman Suhu, would totally agree with that. We're really excited to have Dr. Suhu on to talk about energy medicine begins with water. And, you know, Dr. Suhu is a naturopathic doctor with specialized training in biosyntony, Carol food intolerance testing, hydrotherapy, acupuncture, and homeopathy. And he practices in New York City and Glen Cove, Long Island. He's one of the few senior practitioners of biosyntony in the U.S. and really travels around the world to teach people about energy medicine. And so glad to have him here. Real fond memories of working with Dr. Suhu, and actually was involved in training Dr. Suhu. So welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Z. Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear from you.
Yes.
So, just give us a little bit of a background as to kind of how you got into this field. I know you were kind of drawn to holistic medicine. You became an acupuncturist, and then you heard about naturopathic medicine, and then even that just opened up a whole worldview of healing modalities and how you approach patients. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, basically, in high school, I had a back problem, a back injury from sports and not enough rest. And I tried many, many methods available through conventional medicine, and nothing seemed to help. And one of my distant relatives practiced acupuncture, and my family, it was suggested that my family ask her for help, and she was the only one that helped me. And it was not only the skill that helped me, it was her care, her compassion, her just selfless devotion to her art and to my well-being. It really changed me. And from that point on, I realized that you really need to make a difference in this world. And also, getting healthy and maintaining health should not cost a fortune. I mean, she just took her time, put a few needles in me, and, I mean, how much does that cost? Not much.
Yeah.
So I've always been interested in finding ways to help people that are safe and cost-effective.
Yeah.
And,
I know you heard about the program which I was involved in starting at the University of Bridgeport at the College of Naturopathic Medicine, and you became a pioneer in natural health care.
Hmm. That was a very, very good training, and I thank you every day because I use hydrotherapy every day.
Oh.
You were my hydrotherapy professor.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're using the ancient modalities and still keeping those alive in our profession. You know, unfortunately, in medicine, they often, and this goes with modern medicine, and unfortunately, it's even happening in our profession, they throw out the baby with the bathwater, and with a move towards more supplements and the idea that, you know, kind of medicine is in a bottle, we can be in danger of losing our roots. And the roots of naturopathic medicine are in the hydrotherapeutic movement that began, of course it has ancient roots, but then it kind of moved towards Germany and then kind of moved towards here. And I'm so glad that you're doing that. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in using water as a healing modality and where you've taken it.
Well, for one thing, as I said, you got me very interested in hydrotherapy. And then I went on for postgraduate training with Dr. Watros and Dr. Zeff out in Spokane, Washington, where they teach an advanced hydrotherapy class.
Wow.
And they spoke about how they cured cases of cancer, multiple sclerosis, and I followed their methods very carefully when I came back to New York. And I didn't get quite the same results. I mean, of course, people benefited from water. But then it wasn't until later on in my career when I started understanding water more, I realized the difference. Dr. Watros always emphasized that when Dr. Carroll was searching for a place to start his clinic, he went from town to town to town to town until he was satisfied with the quality of that water.
Huh.
And Dr. Watros uses well water. In my clinic, when I came back from that postgraduate training, I was using basically the tap water of New York City or the tap water of Nassau County.
Mm.
And it wasn't until later I realized, oh my goodness, we need living water.
Hmm.
I found out later on that there was a French scientist who studied water, and he called spring water living, and he called tap water dead, because he was able to create a device to measure the biophoton activity of water. He discovered that what happens is water molecules tend to cluster together in groups of three, in which he calls trimers. When these clusters come together and one water molecule jumps over to the next trimer cluster in exchanging places, there is a release of an invisible biophoton in the infrared spectrum. And this energy actually is sent outward, and it's used by all biological systems. So,
wow.
That it was the difference. I was using so-called dead water, whereas Dr. Watrell, she gets her water right out of the well. That's still living. So I don't use the hydrotherapy therapies in my clinic every day, but I do tell my patients to use fresh water, fresh spring water. Fortunately, in Long Island, they have you can still collect water from Cold Spring Harbor. Lots and lots of biophotons are present in that water. So using that water, we can use the hydrotherapy methods that you taught us to get fantastic results on a general basis. And then later I determined, through further use of water, that you can further individualize which water is good for the person, such as like a homeopathic remedy, trying to match the right remedy for that person. You can actually match the right spring for that person. It's really amazing.
Wow. So that's kind of, you call that reading the water, I assume.
Yes, yes.
Reading the water. So you're basically saying that when the old-timers, Priestnitz and Father Kniep and a lot of the other hydropaths, that Russell Trowell, who was actually a medical doctor, you know, that it was interesting, if you look at the history of medicine, there were actually branches of allopathic conventional medicine that used, you know, nature cure, food, and healing water. But it's very interesting. They did build their centers near vibrant rivers. For instance, Trowell built his hydrotherapy college, the hygiotherapeutic college in the 1800s, near the Delaware River, which was, I'm sure, loaded with wonderful, hopefully not too polluted at that time, water. And maybe you're saying that it's not the effect of the temperature of the water, which conducts energy and draws clean blood into the body and or pushes out waste and the way we were taught, but there's an actual inherent ability of healing in the water itself.
That's my working theory right
wow.
now, certainly.
Fascinating. Tell us a little bit about how you would read the water.
Well, basically, reading the water involves developing your sensitivity. And if you understand music, for example, we know that if you put a number of notes together and play them, they can sound harmonious or they can sound dissonant. A harmonious chord will raise the energy of a biological system. A dissonant chord will create stress, for example. Another example, let's say you are in the field of fashion and you want to decide which colors of fabric to match together in one outfit. Some colors will blend together nicely in harmony. Some will clash. And if the person actually wears a color that is dissonant for their vibration, it will actually cause some type of a stress in their energy field. And this will translate into a shrinking of their aura. A shrinking of the aura will translate into a physical sensation. Immediately, the person will notice that their breathing becomes hindered. It could be very subtle. You need a little training to get the sense. But you can feel it on a physical way. So what I suggest for people who have no experience with reading energy, I suggest that they take, as an exercise, go into a supermarket, grab one bottle of spring water off the shelf, and just hold it.
Mm-hmm.
And hold it up against their chest and see how they breathe. Does the breath seem easy to go down? Does the windpipe feel nice and relaxed and wide open? And then grab another bottle to compare. Does that water have the same effect? Does the windpipe still feel open, or is it more constricted, as if you were trying to breathe through a straw? I liken it also to someone who has asthma. Anyone who has asthma understands this perfectly. Let's say somebody gets triggered by exposure to cat. If that person with asthma walks into a room, he can tell you instantly, aha, I know there was a cat in here.
Right.
You don't see the cat, but that person knows it because he feels it right away in his bronchioles, the windpipe, and so on. So it's kind of like that. You're going to have to start developing. You have to just practice and practice. Just go to the market and practice that. And you'll get a good sense of developing that sensitivity of what will affect your respiration, which translates to what is shrinking or expanding your aura and therefore boosting your energy. And then you'll be able to determine what waters are good for you and which ones are not compatible.
So when you started using water and helping patients to choose excellent types of water for them to use, what types of things did you notice in your practice and patients reporting back to you?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't even expecting anything. I was shocked, actually, by the results.
Yeah,
I had.
Yeah, it is kind of shocking, I guess. But and if you think about it, it's not, because we're so... I think we take it for granted, even though water is most of our body are water, and it's a big communication tool in our body's intracellular and energetic communication. But that's great that you noticed that, though.
See, what I realized was water is very special. We know from quantum physics that one of the theories is that energy equals information. They are interchangeable. And one particular thing about water is its specific heat. It can collect and store large quantities of heat and release it. So in that sense, we could say that water is an excellent receiver, storage unit, and transmitter of information. So if the water comes from a particular spring, it will therefore contain a particular information that was picked up from the geological energies of that area and the minerals that it was sitting in for years and years and years. For example, the water in the Fiji spring system, everybody has seen Fiji water in the supermarket, okay?
Right.
Do you know how long it takes for that water to come out in the spring after it goes into the ground as rain? It sits in the ground for 300 years.
Wow.
Think about how much information is stored in that water. And that's why that water becomes unique. It contains in a very strong way, not just like a short-term memory. This is 300 years of sitting in that rock. It sits there and it stores the information, and now when you drink it, you're getting some type of information. If we match that information with what the person is in need of, due to that person's clinical presentation, I have seen beautiful things happen. I'll give you one example. I had a patient, terrible, terrible spring allergies every year. And she asked me this year, oh, my allergies are acting up. And I was thinking, gosh, I have you on a chronic homeopathic remedy. I don't really want to give you an acute, remedy, because it could interfere with the effect of the chronic remedy.
Right.
So I thought, you know what? Why don't we give her water? So I started sensing which waters would be matching her allergic condition. And I found this pretty decent one. It's from Spain. It's called Teleno. Teleno is collected from this mountain, and they call it the Mountain of Mars. It's amazing. They collect this water, so we give it to her. I see her a week later. She said the day that she started drinking it, her allergies, her runny nose, all those symptoms were 90% better already. Just after one day.
Wow.
So it made me start to cases and case after case of results like this made me start to think, what is it about water? It has to be the information from the rock, the energy that it picks up from the geological area that it was sitting. And I've also noticed surface tension must be a factor here.
Explain what surface tension is.
Surface tension is a phenomenon where if you take a droplet of water and you drop it onto a flat surface, say metal, for example, you'll see that water bead up like a ball. It doesn't want to spread out through the surface. That would mean that that water has a high surface tension for that piece of metal. So this is a big problem that we learn about in paint. I know a lot about paint. If you add what is called a surfactant to the water, it will allow it to spread smoothly through the surface of that metal, and then you can have a nice even coating, for example. Something like that happens with water in our bodies. My current working theory is, if you pick the right kind of water that matches that person, what is happening is the surface tension of the water is matching the surface tension of the cell membranes of that person's current condition, allowing that water to flow smoothly and penetrate the cell membranes properly, to hydrate them properly, and to clean toxins. And I have seen this over and over. I had one particular case I remember. I had a lady with severe pain and depression, anxiety attacks. I suggested for her the Italian water called Fiuggi, and she started to drink it. She reported to me that she was starting to feel better, but one particular thing she noticed: why is your water making my urine so dark? Normally it's like water, it's clear. As soon as I started drinking this water, it's dark, it's almost brown. And I thought, wow, this is really amazing. This is also the reason why I have noticed Some people say, I don't like water. I don't like drinking it. It doesn't taste good. When you pick the right water for them, when they drink it, they'll say, wow, the texture of this water is silky. It's smooth. It feels like it goes down smoothly. Huh. These, I would say, are adjectives to describe a surface tension of a water that matches the surface tension of your cell membranes. And finally, you will find a water that is good for the person. Most of the time, also, you hear people coming into your clinic, and they'll say, I'm always drinking, but I'm never, ever quenched. I got to keep drinking water, because they're not drinking the right kind of water. The water's not actually going into the space inside the cell. It's most of it's remaining outside in the extracellular space, and it just basically gets urinated out. So once you have them drink the right kind of water that matches them, they will instantly say, wow, I feel quenched. I don't need to keep running to go to the water fountain.
It might be really interesting when you work with patients doing detoxification and trying to use water as a vehicle to get the toxins outside of their cells, or you know, because you want the water to really help plump up the cells and then carry the waste through the lymphatic system. Have you seen any patients with you know, kind of more toxic conditions benefit from choosing the right type of water?
You know, the thing is, in my practice, I don't see many cases of heavy metal poisoning, petrochemical, you know, environmental medicine cases. I know that's one of your specialties,
yeah.
And that would be a very good research project.
Okay.
And I'm sure it would be very effective, because like I mentioned, at least with this one case, this lady noticed that her urine became dark, 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 which means she's eliminating the stuff that
right,
is stored in
right.
the connective
that's
tissues.
What led me to that question. I was thinking maybe it's sort of grabbing hold of certain things that the body doesn't, you know, wants to release, but just can't because there's not a good vehicle.
Most certainly, because it's not only the surface tension that's involved. Water is so complex. It's invisible. We cannot, with our naked eye, see the microclusters that are formed inside that water. Water is so complicated. You can have groups of water molecules grouping together in threes, like trimers. Sometimes they'll group into fours, fives, or long chains, or complicated or braided chains like a rope. And these shapes actually have, I would even say that they have probably, you could say, a chelating action. I'm quite sure of it, to help just draw some toxins from the tissues. Again, we would need some further research. But what I have been doing, instead of using the water to enhance detoxification, I've been using water to enhance the effectiveness of homeopathic remedies. And
well, I was going to say, homeopathy is so, some of the remedies are so dilute that there has to be an effect on the water that's used as the solvent in the making of the remedy. And I think, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Suhu, one of our graduates finally did a thesis on the more scientific applications of homeopathy and how it might work, and she hypothesized and did some digging into the structure of water in the ultra potent remedies and found that there was some interesting material of engineers and physicists that are working on this type of work. Do you think that might explain some of the effects of this water as well?
For sure. I'm quite certain that homeopathy, when you're adding the information into the water takes on this information and stores it in the form of the water clusters that it will conform to. That is most likely the way that the water stores the information in a physical way. And it can be visualized somehow by some of these scientists with their equipment by seeing what are the shapes of the water clusters that are taken on. I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah.
And, for example, I had a lady who was taking phosphorus for anxiety. I had her mixing it in just regular distilled water at first. And she said, oh, it seems to help, but, you know, it's I need more help because I get these terrible panic attacks. Mm. So then I thought, oh, you know what? I just got this idea. Why don't we mix it with a spring water that seems to match that remedy? So I picked a water from Spain called Fuensanta. Fortunately, we can get almost anything in New York City. It's amazing.
My follow-up question is, where do you get all these great waters? But finish your story, please.
So we mixed the phosphorus 1M, the same potency, but in a different water. She starts taking it. Next time I see her, she says, oh, my God.
Wow.
I can't believe how much more effective that your remedy is now in this water. It's amazing.
Hmm.
She had no panic attacks the whole week.
Very interesting. I used to use Willard water for making homeopathic remedies.
Willard water is an example of one of those waters that decreases the surface tension of the water, so that you can have a better action of penetration.
Yeah, Dr. Willard figured that out a while ago. I remember reading some of his. I think Dr. Kamai told me about him once, and I was reading about him, and I said, "Huh, I'm going to start making when I make a nosode for someone. When I take their blood or urine and make a perfect matching remedy to whatever's going on in their body at the time I drew the blood or used the urine, I would use the Willard water, and I would notice much better results than." If I use distilled water, and I published it in our book, our arthritis book, first edition, that we would use the Willard water, and I remember giving the address on where to get it, but then I never really pursued as to why that might be so. So this might be one reason why those remedies seem to affect people a lot better.
Yes, surface tension.
Interesting.
But I think... with something like Willard water, you're just lowering the surface tension in general, which is very helpful. But I think when you use my method of trying to match the right water, it's matching, because I think you can overshoot the mark in that you can make the water have an even lower surface tension than the surface tension of the cell membranes, and it won't be as efficient. You want to have it matching exactly what the cell membrane is meeting, and then you can have a good flow of the water into the tissues.
So the different diseases create different energetic tensions in the body?
Absolutely. Every physical problem can manifest itself on an energetic level. And being that we are 70% water... the nervous system being 80% water, that water will now hold on to some type of information and vibrate in a certain way, causing the water around the cell membranes to vibrate a certain way as well. So to match that and to meet that, you need to have the right kind of vehicle, which is the right spring water, in my case of this interview, what we're talking about. That will make a big difference. Huge difference. Just yesterday, I was helping someone having an acute kidney stone passing. This person was in my office for several hours.
Wow, a lot of pain, sure.
Yes, and you know, you can't do anything for a kidney. You have to just wait for it to pass. And I had to just keep changing the remedies as his symptoms were changing and as the water was changing. And I noticed that when you gave him the right remedy, the pain would subside because the smooth muscles would be able to relax better to allow the stone to pass much more easily. And he still has a bit of soreness right now. But he's much, much better than he was yesterday.
Wow. So it's half past the hour, and if you're just joining us, we're interviewing Dr. Norman Suhu, a naturopathic physician specialized in biosynthony, the Carol food intolerance testing, hydrotherapy, and the applications of water, as we're discussing today. He's also an acupuncturist and practices homeopathy in New York City and Glen Cove, Long Island. And so we're going to take a quick break to identify our wonderful station here. And when we return, we're going to continue with Dr. Sue, who, by the way, his new website is songofhealth.com if you'd like to contact Dr. Suhu. So stay tuned right here to Progressive Radio Network, and we'll be back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z with Dr. Suhu. Stay tuned. Okay, and that brings us right back to the program. We're back right here, Progressive Radio Network, with Dr. Suhu. We're having a really high-level discussion about water. I have Dr. Suhu's theories and looking at water have really titillated my interest on possibly how subtle healing may work and possibly energy healing and the fact that water transmits energy and even the particular type of water in the ground or water running across different surfaces or water stored in places can actually, almost like a remedy itself, be matched to the patient's constitution or their complaint or the symptomology. So this is just cutting-edge, wonderful stuff that you'd only hear right here at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Welcome back, Dr. Suhu.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about a couple of the very interesting cases that you've dealt with using this. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, one of the things we were starting to lead the discussion into is that how, besides reading the water and reading the patient, how do you bring these two together? Is there a guide of the energy aspects of water and different wells around the planet, or how did you bring all these concepts together?
Well, I'm currently still trying to catalog everything as I try to understand water. As you know, water is highly complex, and there's a good resource I found. It's called findaspring.com. This is a website that users upload the location of fresh spring water in the around the world, where you can go and just collect it. And that's highly valuable in that if you are able to collect fresh spring water, you're getting living water. So even if it's not matched for you, you're going to get all the benefits of the biophotons when you consume this water. And the healing effects of that added energy for the biophotons, which I believe was a major component of why hydrotherapy, as traditionally practiced, was so effective, because running water helps regenerate the biophoton activity. That's why you said with Trawl, with the river, he built his clinic next to a river. Underground water, of course, is moving, so getting it from a spring, it's gushing out, and then a well, the water is flowing, so you're getting lots of biophotons there.
Well, here's a conundrum, though, because, you know, in New York City, you get it from some particular area, I guess coming from upstream, and then put in a reservoir, and then traveling down towards the city or whatnot. So what's the problem with that water?
I believe it's because the water has been treated chemically.
I see.
When you treat the water, it instantly will change the water cluster characteristics of that water, which I believe is what is giving it its therapeutic action. You're in essence distorting and eliminating the information that was stored in the water.
I remember Dr. Emoto taking pictures of water in different areas of the world and trying to crystallize the energetic frequency or information of the water, looking at different types of water. And then, of course, the way that water holds emotional energies and things like that. But you know, I remember him showing some pictures of polluted water and how the picture was very disharmonious as far as the crystalline pattern of the water. So it would make sense that if you were drinking that water, it would kind of keep giving you disharmony in your life, and would certainly be an obstacle to cure. Sounds like you're of that mindset as well.
Yes. Unfortunately, I have noticed that people do drink the quotation-unquotation wrong water. If you keep drinking a water over and over, it's almost like a homeopathic proving, you're going to start consuming and acquiring information that is not harmonious with the vibrations of the water in your body. And this can cause, I have seen mostly neurologically, people say that if they're not drinking the right water, you will notice that they will say, it's hard for me to focus. My memory is not that sharp. I can't get up and go. I don't have the motivation. Mm. And I believe because the nervous system is 80% water, and so that system of the body is even more sensitive to the quality of the water you're consuming. So you'll instantly see those the effects of the right kind or the quote-unquote wrong kind of water right away on the mental, emotional level.
Here's what we got to do. Because I'm so focused on botany and growing herbs, and I'm curator of the herb garden at the University of Bridgeport, and as you've been to my home and office, have a fabulous garden, and usually plants love me and I love them back, and they are just glorious. The old quote unquote green thumb. I would like to propose doing some type of an experiment where we water the plants with where we try to figure out the energy of the particular plant, and then water the plant with the wrong water versus the right water, and see if there's any measurable differences in the growth of the plant and things like that. Maybe we could do that as some type of an experiment at the university. Because it makes sense. Now, what about rainwater, Dr. Suhu? Because, that's basically the water returns in this whole hydro cycle of that we're talking about. There's got to be some energy in the clouds, too.
Absolutely, there is. In fact, Tibetan medicine, they group water into 10 different types. Huh. And they say that the best and most purest water to drink is rainwater. They consider that the best of quality.
In Tibetan medicine.
Yeah, in Tibetan medicine. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to do that. And when I asked my mentor about that, Dr. Dawa, so why doesn't everyone drink rainwater now? And he said, well, it may not be the same as in ancient times because of all of the pollution in the atmosphere.
Right. That's what I'm thinking myself, too, now that I mention that.
it's probably still worth experimenting with, though, if you can collect the rainwater from the high Himalayas where there's not much air pollution.
Yeah. Some of the groundwater gets polluted, though, so I would assume that the well, if you're living in a house, let's bring it down to the average person listening that's listening to the program. Some of us are urbanites, and some of us, I'd say the great majority of Americans that aren't urbanites living in the city are living in a rural particular area, and they probably have their own well. I do, right where I'm discussing right now. I'm in my office here, out of my home, and we have our well. We don't really know, though, who upstream from the aquifers is dumping junk into the water. just like you wouldn't know even in France or Fiji if people are polluting these amazing aquifers and areas of where the water is sitting and gaining the information and the energy of the particular area. But I guess there's not a lot you can do about it. What about if you filter with a carbon or charcoal filter the water, are you really changing the energy quite substantially, Dr. Suhu?
No, you haven't, because I've experimented with that. Because on my weekends, I like to go to different springs and collect water.
Nice.
And some the way that some springs are designed, they collect the water slowly because they trickle, and it collects into a little a basin. And that basin may not be all that clean, so you would want to filter it. So I've been using a camping filter.
Okay.
Which these new filters are amazing. These ceramic filters, they are so small that they do not allow even bacteria to pass through. It's really, and they even have smaller ones where they don't even allow viruses to pass through. But, you know, given the size of the filtering power, it will take, I think it's about an hour to just get 1 ounce of water filtered with that type. But, you know, with your regular camping filter, you can do a lot, and you'll be pretty safe, because those filters also say that they filter out toxic metals and chemicals.
Chemicals, parasites.
Yes. So what I have done, yes. Mm-hmm. And what I have done is I measured the water before and after filtration, and it seems to not disrupt the water cluster configuration of the water after it passes through the filter, because it has the same vibration.
Good. Well, that's great news, because I was, you know, curious if
the only thing that will alter it is if you boil the water.
Interesting.
Because when you boil the water, you're breaking up the water clusters. And when the water cools, some of the water molecules still have a memory to restore part of the water cluster formations, but not entirely.
And so if you're making tea out of these spring waters and then steeping the tea, you would recommend making a sun tea with a, you know, more of a passive diffusion of
correct.
The herbs versus boiling and then
correct.
Steeping the tea.
Correct. Because if you want to optimize the effect, you would use the sun tea method. And it made a lot of sense when I thought of it, because I remember when we visited Washington Homeopathic Pharmacy out in West Virginia, they were giving us a tour of the facility, and somebody asked, how do you deactivate the homeopathic remedy once it's been used to succuss in that vessel? Do you buy a new glass of vessel every time you make a remedy? No, of course not. It'd be so expensive. And what they said was, we have noticed that all you need to do is clean that vessel with water that is of a minimum temperature of 180 degrees. Mm. So what does that tell you? It's the same thing as boiling. You're adding heat to just break up the water clusters, which gives you an idea that homeopathic remedies are altering the water clusters. I believe that is the information that's being stored in the water. It's in the form of the shape of the water clusters.
Right, so the water geometrically, the molecules change, and then they're like a battery. They're able to maintain that geometrical configuration.
Yes.
And then pass that along to the patient. And, of course, the practitioner is taking the case and looking at the similar symptoms. And basically you're saying that the homeopathic remedies are mirroring the medicine that was diluted in that water when they made the mother tincture, the original substance that... then they started to succuss. I think they call that the mother tincture. Am I right?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a process very similar to that, most certainly.
Hmm, very interesting. Now, you know, it's kind of funny. I was just thinking, And I see some interesting things in your questions that you sent us before the show that, you know, it's kind of funny. People, I'll give you an example. You know, we've been to Arthur Avenue before when we did our maybe trips to the botanical gardens. I mean, maybe it wasn't your class, but maybe it was Dr. Espinosa's class, but who came, I think, a little after you guys, but at UB. But we would go to Arthur Avenue, and I talked to one of the bakers there. Arthur Avenue, for those, you know, listening abroad or wherever you are listening to our program, is in the Bronx. It's right near the botanical gardens, and there's a Little Italy there. And what's interesting is they make bread there. They make a very famous bread that people ship all over the place, Arthur Avenue bread. And they swear, Dr. Suhu, they swear that it's the water there that they're using to make this particular bread. And they import this particular water to California if they're trying to make this Arthur Avenue bread. So it's interesting that bakers and food connoisseurs and people that are making particular types of coffee or medicines are very particular about the water that they use.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe there's something to the besides the medicinal quality, maybe there's something that water is doing to these recipes and maybe changing the texture, shape, or who knows, maybe it is a subtle energy thing about these particular foods.
It's most certainly, the water plays into it so strongly.
Now, how do people, in the last few minutes of the program here, how do people start to use these principles in their lives at home? For instance, like, when I'm done with the show, I'm going to pull some water out, and what should I do to see how my water in my well resonates with things? What's a practical thing that folks can do with this information?
Well, the idea here is you want to only have things in your life at that time that will just raise your energy and therefore your health and well-being. And just like the person who has asthma, if you come in contact with something that is incompatible for you at that time, you're going to notice a change in your respiration. It might be subtle, so you're going to have to get into a quiet state at first. Slow yourself down, calm your mind, and just really feel how your respiration changes. Okay? And then you're going to, for example, go to a grocery store, grab one bottle of Fiji, hold it, and just see how that alters your respiration. Set that bottle back, and then grab another bottle. Say Evian. See how that makes you feel. And do this continuously. That will help develop your sensitivity. And by the end of it, you have gone through all the waters on the shelf, and you'll know which one is the best one for you at that time.
Interesting.
Because energy medicine really, really is nothing more than a simple exercise in comparing, contrasting, and matching things together. That's really all it is. You can use muscle testing, a pendulum, dowsing rods, your respiration, but ultimately, once you develop that sensitivity, you can feel it internally. You will know that particular water is good for you. So the best way to start is check water. Our bodies are 70% water, so we resonate very well, and we will react very well when we take water and bring it close to our bodies. Once you develop some sensitivity, a degree of sensitivity on that level, start using other things. Reach into the bin of apples. Which apple in that bin resonates the best for you? Again, that apple has lots of water, so it will resonate. You will be able to pick it up through your antenna system and start doing it over and over. The other thing I suggest, you can also start doing interior decorating. Remodel your space once in a while. and see how it changes the energy of your space. Does it feel better? Do you breathe easier if you move the couch from here to here? Or if you paint this wall red, or if you paint this... These subtle details will alter your energy field, and you can feel it on the level of your respiration. Once you've remodeled your house, you could do your neighbor, your friend, do 100 of them. I assure you, you will develop a very, very keen sense of sensitivity. And then you will be able to apply this in almost any activity that you do.
Right, because in health, every moment we have, you know, with, I guess in life in general, for every moment we can make some type of a decision. Is this really good for my body and soul and spirit, or is it not good? Is this a good decision to make or not a good decision? Is this going to give me peace of mind and health, or is this not? And I like that, because that's what I tell patients, that they say, how do I get healthy? How am I going to get from here coming into my, how am I going to get from here in this disease state to this very well state that I anticipate? And I tell them, one step at a time. It's the old saying, inch by the yard it's hard, but inch by inch it's a cinch. And each moment you have, you can choose a thought, a different thought. You can choose a different water, a different remedy, a different food, a different way of eating. So you're right. It's all about becoming more conscious and more subtle in what we're doing. We're living in a time, I think, where we're not too conscious of these things, Dr. Siegel.
The whole idea is to become more and more aware, more and more sensitive. That's it. And these simple exercises that I've described with you, you can just start doing it, and you have to practice. The only way to get well is just practice. Just like an Olympic athlete, they train every day. They do it every single day. You got to use these principles. I also give some classes.
Yes, tell us a little bit about how people can get in contact with you and some classes that mm-hmm. and share your website and all those things in the last 2 minutes of the program.
Yes, I conduct some energy medicine classes geared towards geobiology and biosyntony. And in these classes, I give exercises and I show people how to develop their sensitivities. You can contact me through email at info@drsuhu.com, info@drsuhu.com. You can also call my office in Manhattan. It is 212-691-8281. In the Glen Cove office, that is 516-759-5916. And please, if you have a detailed question, please send it in the form of an email. I'm more than happy to answer your questions.
Yeah. So Suhu spelled S-U-H-U.
Yes.
DrSuhu.com.
Yes, great. Thank you.
Wow, what a great program. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this information.
Thank you.
Some people, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. It was mind-blowing for me.
Yeah. It's just amazing that we could tap into this. And at the same time, it's very refreshing that we can be our own healers and help us out.
Healing resides in every one of you. That's one of the teachings of naturopathy. We're just facilitating the process and eliminating obstacles to cure.
Right.
Right. That's what you taught us in class.
It's nice to see one of my students go on and become just a renowned teacher. It's probably the best thing about being a teacher is when we've impacted. Hey, my energy has impacted you.
Thank you so much for everything. I so appreciate your wisdom.
You too. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We want you to stay healthy all the time. Be well, everyone. Take care.